WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. As part of what the Trump administration calls its war on drug cartels, the Pentagon is now sending an aircraft carrier to the waters near Colombia and Venezuela. President Trump is in Qatar right now, a pit stop on his way through to a larger trip through Asia this week. Also on that trip is Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney. The U.S. and Canada have been at odds over trade after Ontario aired an ad featuring Ronald Reagan discussing the virtues of free trade and the pitfalls of tariffs. White House advisor Kevin Hassett.
The Canadians have been very difficult to negotiate with. And you look at all the countries around the world that we've made deals with, and the fact that we're now negotiating with Mexico separately reveals that it's not just about one ad, that there's frustration that's built up.
Meanwhile, SNAP benefits for many Americans are set to expire this coming week as part of the ongoing government shutdown. This is ABC News. A shakeup at the Los Angeles Fire Department just a few months after the former fire chief was ousted over his handling of the most destructive wildfire in the city's history. L.A. Mayor Karen Bass selecting Deputy Chief Jaime Moore for the slot.
Keeping Angeleno safe is our most important responsibility. That is why, after a nationwide search, I am appointing an admired and expert firefighter and leader with more than 30 years of experience in the LAFD. Jaime Moore will serve as the next chief of the fire department.
The Palisades fire killed at least 12 people and destroyed or damaged nearly 8,000 homes, businesses, and other structures. At least two people were killed and seven others are in critical condition after a mass shooting in North Carolina overnight. A total of 13 people were shot just outside the town of Maxton. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Paul Jaconi Berry and Sean Hannish back with another great Wisconsin sports film. No Packers, no life.
Sean came across No Packers, No Life at the Wisconsin Film Festival and said, you got to see it. We got to see if we can do something. This movie is just such a great opportunity to really see the impact of Wisconsin culture halfway around the world in Japan. It is just so magical and joyful. Yeah. So I encourage everybody to come take a look.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local civic media radio station.
Stay connected to the stories shaping your community and Wisconsin on WISS and the Civic Media app. Real news, great conversation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. It's spooky season, and that means kids all over Wisconsin are trick-or-treating. Lisa Hale has some safety information for families.
I think when we talk about safety in general, every year somewhere in the country, there tends to be some sort of concern about candy. Now, is it happening everywhere? No.
That's Lieutenant Megan Cash, the Public Information and Community Resources Officer with the Appleton Police Department. To stay safe and for peace of mind, Cash says there are steps parents and kids can take to ensure their candy and other treats are safe.
Wait till you get home looking through that candy. Know where you're going trick-or-treating. Understand some of those concerns can still exist, but more of that concern is about just like making sure things aren't unwrapped.
Cash said when choosing a costume, to avoid long trailing fabric that can be a tripping hazard. If your child is wearing a mask, make sure the eye holes are large enough for them to see clearly, or forgo the mask completely and use makeup instead. Give trick-or-treaters flashlights or glow sticks to help them see better, and so drivers can see the little monsters, ghosts, witches, and Power Rangers better.
Trying to maintain that visibility is really important. But let's say you are going as a group, staying in that group, making sure that when you're moving in that group that you're staying on the sidewalks. Crossing the road safely is really important. You know, looking both ways.
Check with your local municipality for trick-or-treating days and times. And as you prepare for the spooky night, make it less scary by using safety tricks that make treats even better. I'm Lisa Hale, Civic Media News.
And I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is Civic Media News.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for the Midwest Farm Report, with me, Pam Yonke.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy today. We'll see highs in the low 50s and a chance of showers. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 32. Sunshine with a high near 57 on Sunday. Sunday night, mostly clear, a low of 36. Monday, sunny and a high of 54.
Right now, it's 49.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend sports and news headlines. Also be joined by our friend and colleague, Jane Matinere of Matinere on Air. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome to the show. Oh my goodness. So, you know, every now and again we got to take a break from the normal programming and kind of have a special episode. We're going to do that. This week, we have a special Halloween episode with my dear friend and yours. We have a paranormal and true crime podcaster, Todd Michaels. Dear friend of the show, wonderful man, Todd. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Y'all ready for this?
I don't know. Do you have any like traditions that you had from growing up or now?
Well, a couple of traditions, Halloween in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
When you're a kid, buying your costume large enough that you could wear a snowsuit under, right?
Yes.
Do that because every year it could either be really decent or you could have a couple of inches of snow that you had to go out in,
yes.
One or the other.
Yes.
I'm kind of, I'll have to be honest with you, I'm kind of disappointed this year because last year I went all out on my house and had all the decorations, like huge skeletons, big spiders on the side of my house, the floodlights. I had a big bubbling cauldron out front, all that stuff. This year I haven't done anything. And I don't know if it's because it just doesn't quite feel like it yet, but it is that time of year.
So. It is. Yeah, the Halloween costume that's warm enough or, you know, the room enough to fit the long underwear and stuff that hits home. We would always watch It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Of course.
You have to do that. So I'm allergic to peanuts. And so trick-or-treating was never like, you know, the most awesome thing in the world because it's like, oh, sweet. Thank you for the Reese's peanut butter cup that will kill me if I eat it. This is great. And then I had three brothers that we would all go home and then we would have to do the great candy trade because Mark can't eat a third of his stuff. And my brothers were, you know, they were swindlers, Todd. They swindled me. They were like, you want this Milky Way? Okay, it's going to cost you three, you know, Butterfingers or whatever it was. So it was terrible.
So in other words, your parents had to check the candy for like the typical razor blade and all the bad stuff, right?
Yes.
But also because of the peanut, the nut allergy.
Yep, razor blades. Yeah, it's in our rough and tumble neighborhood growing up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, but that's kind of what we did. And
I'm kind of sad for you. That's really sad. I never even thought about that aspect of trick or treating.
Yeah, it was super lame. It wasn't very fun. But yes, but I wanted to have someone on to kind of talk about, you know, paranormal stuff and especially here in Wisconsin. So I know you've been involved in some hunts and all these kind of exciting things. So how did that get started?
Well, I will always say this, like I first got interested in ghosts and spirits and stuff like that when the Amityville Horror movie came out. Because that was when it was the first one really that I remember as a child where it was like, oh, here's a story about a haunted house based on a real story, like true events. Right.
OK,
so I remember being like, holy crap, ghosts are real, even though your parents say they're not. And here's the funny thing about my family. So I wasn't allowed to know anything about it because it was, quote unquote, too scary. So my mom and dad went to the movie and my mom bought the book. Well, the only bookcase in the house growing up was in my bedroom.
Nice.
So the scary book was in my bedroom all the time and I was not allowed to look at it.
Oh, God.
So I would sneak it out like most young men sneak other things out to look at. Uh-huh. I'm looking at the Amityville Horror, and I did get caught one time, like lying in bed reading the Amityville Horror, and I had to like put it under the sheets and stuff like that when my mom came in. So that was where it really started. And then I think for a lot of people like me, and I know you've investigated too, which I can't believe we haven't had longer conversations on that, but like when Ghost Hunters came out and the TV shows came out, you're like, wow, there's actually people going out and investigating this for real. It's not just kind of joking around kind of stuff. So that's really when I got into it, like in the late 90s, early 2000s, when that stuff came out.
Yeah. For me, when that whole thing started, I worked at Heritage Hill.
Oh man.
And, And I didn't think about that at all, you know, about paranormal anything. And then I was giving tours to kids, because that's what I did. I took a year off between high school and college and was giving tours. And I worked in the hospital, which was one of the two buildings that are original to the soldier part of it. And it was in the middle of like wintertime. It was freaking cold. And one of the doors was open. One of the doors was locked. The locked one was in the back. And the shoes that you wear have like, they're called brogans. They have like a horseshoe almost on the heel, because that's what they wore at the time, because it protected the shoe and all that stuff. But it was very distinct sound when you walked over the wood. And I was giving a tour and I heard someone walking upstairs. And I'm like, oh, that's just the other dude. He's getting stuff, because it was storage. And I went up there and like, oh, I expect to see Chris, and he's not there. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that was weird. He's got his stuff and left. Gave another tour, same thing. And then I like, there's phones. And so I called the other room and I'm like, or the other building across the park. I'm like, what are you doing? Why, what the hell is this? Like, are you punking me? He's like, what are you talking about? There's no one in there. And so then that freaked the hell out of me. And then one of the schools that came was the Oneida Nation. And there was one of the elders that like wouldn't even come in, because he's like, this building, it's messed up. I'm not coming in. Yes.
Right.
And then he did that. And then all of a sudden there was like, bum, 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 bum upstairs. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, like what is going on? So that was like where that started in my head. There's something to this.
Right. Right. And I don't know how you are, but for me, it was when I first started, it was like, oh, I want to go see a ghost. I want to get scared. Right.
Yeah.
And then you start, and then you, for a long time, I didn't have any experiences at all. Like literally it was going out and it was investigating for hours and hours and hours and really being skeptical of it. And I think that's always good anyway. Like not everything is a ghost. We know that. But then it took a while. And then finally, at one point, I had a few things happen in my own home when I had a visitor come and do some investigating with me.
Oh, really?
And that then opened it up where I was having experiences more often. So I feel like that kind of plays into it. I think you're either open to it to start with or not. And I think the energy that you bring and the others, whoever you're investigating with, bring actually play a big role into whether or not you typically get any kind of activity and stuff like that. You mentioned Heritage Hill in Green Bay, but I think of all the places around the state of Wisconsin that are reportedly haunted. And then all the places too, like that I've actually had a chance to go and investigate. And it's amazing when I think back to some of the experiences I've had, it's freaking nuts.
What would you say? Like give a story of one of the ones that you've experienced.
Well, I'll first off say that I think humans are scarier than ghosts.
Yeah.
And there's different levels of like the, oh, wow, experiences. If you want to stick in Green Bay, I've never actually investigated at Heritage Hill, but I've always wanted to do that. Couple of places in and around Green Bay and the lakeshore, Captain's Walk Winery, right? That place we've investigated before.
Really?
And got some really good evidence. A lot of light play and stuff like that, that we got in that area. And on the lakeshore, if you've not been to the Maritime Museum, you have got to go. Not only because it's because of the history, but there's definitely some activity out there.
Really?
And they've got plenty of stories about, you know, captains on some of the boats and ships that they have out there. But actually inside in the museum, there's some activity there as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is like attached to the artifacts, do you think?
Or I'm thinking, I mean, another one in Green Bay, it's probably one of my, like, if I had to make a list of the top 10,
yeah,
it would be in the top five, and that's the National Railroad Museum.
Man. Really?
That place has so much energy. And I think I'm a believer that we leave behind our energy no matter what we do. And I think it's prevalent, or you see it on a daily basis when somebody walks in a room. If you've got a room of 20 people and somebody walks in, that one person can make such a big difference in the energy with that crowd, right? You can either bring the energy up and make it a great experience, or you can bring the energy down. And I think that we leave that behind, not only in our life every day, but I think in the places we go to. And so when you're talking about maritime stuff, lighthouses, yeah, and you're talking about ships, these people, that was hard life, you know, working on ships and running lighthouses and stuff like that. I think a lot of their energy was left behind. And National Railroad, I feel the same way about the railroad. Like, people who lived that lifestyle gave their all to that lifestyle. And really, you know, there was a lot of death and tragedy. But that particular investigation, we used something called a laser grid. Have you ever used one of those before?
I've not, but I've seen those on TV.
Yeah.
I've seen them being used.
So we were in the actual museum.
You did investigate the rail
museum.
Really?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was on the ones you wanted to. I didn't realize you went.
No. I've been there, and, you know, we were in the Pullman car.
Yes.
Which was primarily, you know, staffed by African Americans at the time.
Yep.
And I remember when we were there, President Obama was the president. And some of the things we were asking was, do you realize that in the year that we are now, we have a president who is Black, right? Can you imagine that? We got some responses in there on our audio equipment that was kind of interesting. The main thing that happened, though, with that laser grid, if you've ever been to the National Railroad Museum, it's this just huge building with train cars and steam engines and all that kind of stuff kind of lined up. And of course, there's big pillars throughout the entire facility to hold up this huge building. And we had the light grid kind of going down the alleyway between the boxcars and stuff. And we kept seeing the shadow peek out from behind one of the pillars.
Oh, wow.
And I had never seen a shadow figure like that before in my life. And it just kept kind of peeking around me like, oh my God, there it is again. There it is again. And all of a sudden it darted. And our director and producer went after it with a camera.
Okay.
And actually caught it on the big steam engine running up into the cab of the engine, into the like where the driver would be, it was amazing. We got that.
Is that posted somewhere?
It was on Amazon Prime for a long time. I'm not sure if you can actually get that program anymore. It was called Haunted State.
Oh my
but
God.
That is where we got that. And to be honest, I didn't see it at the time of the investigation. None of us did.
Oh, like really?
We saw the figures peeking out. We saw that, but we didn't realize that we had the footage that we got on the train. It was amazing. And so when we first sat down and actually watched it kind of as a premiere for us to kind of critique it and stuff, we were all blown away by it.
What the hell was that?
Absolutely. It was freaking crazy. I'd never seen anything like that before. So Green Bay, a lot of great hauntings right there. And you would expect that. Being on the water, right? The river's right there. And all of the tension that was there at that part of our country with the different groups trying to trade. You had the Native Americans, you had the French, you had all these people who wanted to set up shop there and live there. So there was a lot of tumultuous times at some point in our history.
Yeah, no kidding. And we're talking with Todd Michaels, who's the paranormal enthusiast podcast host guy. I'm gonna tell a story about the Railroad Museum when we come back, because we're members and we spend so much time there as a family. And stick around. We're talking to Todd Michaels here on the Rational Revolution. We'll be right back after this.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be a little tricky. So here at WISS, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WISS.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you've got an event to share, hit us up. Email info at WISS.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you've ever found yourself driving down a quiet back road and thought, this feels special, you might be on one of our estate's rustic roads.
The program was created by the legislature back in 1973. It's really a unique local-state partnership.
Officials wanted people by car, bike, motorcycle, or even on foot to enjoy the natural beauty. The first rustic road designated in Taylor County 50 years ago this month.
There's 124 roads that have been designated rustic roads in Wisconsin in 62 different counties, and it spans over 784 miles.
Each rustic road is unique, rolling past farmland through forests or covering rugged terrain. And the speed limit tops out at 45 miles an hour, sometimes even slower. It's not about getting anywhere fast. This slice of Wisconsin reveals sometimes the best part of the journey is the road itself. I'm Terry Baugh.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I want to suck your blood. What are we smiling with?
We've got a Halloween episode here on the Wrestling Room. Yes. So we're continuing with the dear friend, paranormal true crime podcaster, friend of the show, friend of mine, Todd Michaels. We were on the other side talking about the Railroad Museum and the Pullman car. And So this was, I don't know, it was, so we started going to the Railroad Museum all of the time during COVID because it was a place where we, you know, the kids could run and just, or not during COVID, but when it opened. And it was a place where we could go and it was family friendly. And it's just, so we've been a member of the museum for a long time. And the Pullman car, for those of you who don't know, is from the Pullman Company. And as Todd said on the other side, primarily staffed by African Americans. And they're in that car. They have like TVs that you can push the button and hear someone speak, and it's computer generated. But one of them talks about, you know, what life is like, and there's a sign in front of the little room in the car that says, "Hey, there's a," they say a bad word here, and it's the N-word.
Yeah,
because they talk about it unfiltered, which is great, and so my son hit the button. And then, I mean, my wife is black. So our daughter looks just like her. And so my son heard that and was like, "What was that?" And he was, you know, he can't freaking read that. And so I kind of sat him down and we talked a little bit about that, maybe a 45-second discussion on why they did that and why it's important and why we should listen to what he's saying and not, you know, it was cool. We walked out of that room and it played again. I didn't touch it. There was nobody else in there. And we turned around and it was playing. And so we went back in and watched it. And as we went out, it did it again. And so, you know, I was like, well, okay. Is that like a little, you know, hey, thanks for caring. You know, right. That was, it was interesting.
It is interesting, and that location has, you know, there's something very close to my heart. My dad worked for the Chicago Northwestern Railroad
really?
His entire life.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, there was a connection there for me, and they have a caboose there. I don't know if you had a chance to get
in there. We've been
in
every single freaking one of them.
Yeah.
Which one?
So the caboose, the red one kind of behind the Pullman car.
Yes.
On the same row.
Okay.
And we went on there, and my dad... used to always tell me that, oh, the caboose guys, they got the easiest job. They just sit back there and make sure everything's okay. So he used to call them lazy and such. And so we were sitting there and we were doing a spirit box session, which is where you use basically a radio that scans all the frequencies trying to communicate, et cetera. And I was saying stuff like that. And I was saying, hey, my dad said if you worked on this, you were lazy and blah, blah, blah.
Any truth to that?
Well, yeah, pretty much. And
care to respond?
I can't say what the response we got, but it was a blank you expression that came across.
Nice. You were cursed out.
Yeah, it was been cursed out a little bit. So it's been interesting. A couple of other places in the valley that are really cool if you ever get a chance to check it out. Deja Vu Martini Bar on College Avenue in Appleton was a location where we went in to investigate and didn't get a lot all night. You know, it was one of those things where you go in with all this anticipation and I'm sure you've been on investigations like that too, where nothing's really happening. Mm-hmm. But two things really kind of became aha moments for me that night. One of them was we were getting down to the end of the night. We were getting rather tired and we were in the main bar area, and right in front of us, like a couple of arm lengths away, there was a conversation that was being had that I couldn't quite make out what was being said, but there was nobody there.
What?
There were two people having a conversation right
you
in front
saw them?
Of me. I didn't see them. I heard them.
Oh, okay. Oh,
and,
God.
And so it was like, what the heck was that? Like, that was kind of mind blowing because I had not had an experience where that happened right in front of me. And then finally, at the very end of the night, I had a moment where a lot of people would go, oh, big deal. But to me, it was really significant because you watch these shows, you go out and investigate. And a lot of times people will say, well, if you want to talk to me, talk through this event, this device or press this button or make this light up. You mm-hmm. do all this stuff. Right. And I'm thinking, what if they just can't do that? It'd be like me going up to you, Mark, and saying, I want you to answer this question. But in order to answer, you need to do a back flip with a half twist.
Yeah, right.
And then I want you to speak in German. And maybe you don't have the skills to do that. Right. And so I thought, well, maybe we're asking whatever's here to communicate in a way that they aren't able to, whether they don't have the skills or they don't understand. And I finally said, listen, we're at the end of the night. We're really tired. Whatever you do, whatever you can do really, really well, I'm going to count to three and I want you to do it. And I said it loud enough as we were kind of sitting around that we got it on the recorder. And I said, one, two, three. And at the count of three, there was this loud clank from the bar area.
Whoa.
And there was somebody over in that area. And basically what happened was the door handle on the walk-in cooler came all the way out and slapped back.
Whoa.
Which is something that had been reported at that location by the owners. They had told us that happens occasionally.
That's crazy.
So on the count of three, on command, that's the thing that they could use to communicate. And we saw it. We didn't catch it on video, but we caught it on audio. And it was just incredible to me.
Wow. I wonder, you know, it's always interesting to me, like, what are these things that are happening? You know, where are they coming from? And it's all of this is the search for, like, what happens next. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And I wonder if that's really the right question. Because I wonder if it's, what have we left behind? Also what's going on around us that we don't even know about. We live our lives on this playing field and we know, you know, we kind of know what we know, but there's tons of stuff we don't understand yet scientifically.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to continue the discussion here on the other side of the break. We've got paranormal and true crime podcaster Todd Michaels on the Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stick around.
Yeah.
Oshkosh to Neenah, this is 98.3 WISS.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to WISS, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. As part of what the Trump administration calls its war on drug cartels, the Pentagon is now sending an aircraft carrier to the waters near Colombia and Venezuela. President Trump is in Qatar right now, a pit stop on his way through to a larger trip through Asia this week. Also on that trip is Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney. The U.S. and Canada have been at odds over trade after Ontario aired an ad featuring Ronald Reagan discussing the virtues of free trade and the pitfalls of tariffs. White House advisor Kevin Hassett.
The Canadians have been very difficult to negotiate with. And you look at all the countries around the world that we've made deals with, and the fact that we're now negotiating with Mexico separately reveals that it's not just about one ad, that there's frustration that's built up.
Meanwhile, SNAP benefits for many Americans are set to expire this coming week as part of the ongoing government shutdown. This is ABC News.
It's the Packers and the Steelers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Pittsburgh, where the Packers take on the Steelers here on Sunday Night Football. Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin says his team is focused on two players, defensive end Micah Parsons and Packers running back Josh Jacobs.
Looking at Green Bay's offense, it starts with Josh Jacobs, and not only because of the circumstances that we're in coming off of a subpar performance in terms of stopping a run, but he's just a catalyst for a lot that goes on with them. He's a nuts and bolts player, man. He's really good. He's got a great run demeanor. Micah Parsons, can't say enough about him and his talents. You saw just the other day what he's capable of doing, and I think that's really indicative of the impact that a guy like him has.
Tomlin has been the Steelers head coach now 19 years. That's the most in the NFL. I asked Matt LaFleur about Tomlin's success.
I wish we all knew the secret sauce, because he's been the model of consistency, and he's used a lot of different people to do it.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Some of you might remember Jeremy Renner from the less popular Bourne movie. It was pretty subpar, although not entirely his fault. In 2023, on New Year's Day, the mayor of Kingstown actor was seriously injured after saving his nephew from being crushed by a 14,000-pound snowplow. The Hurt Locker star had 30 broken bones, including 14 broken ribs, a spinal fracture, a broken tibia, a punctured lung, a sliced liver, a broken and dislocated collarbone, and a major head laceration. Season 4 of yet another Taylor Sheridan show, The Mayor of Kingstown, drops October 26th on Paramount. This is the age of the re-release, and you can add Wedding Crashers to the list of films that you can see soon on the big screen. The Owen Wilson Vince Vaughn comedy celebrates its 20th anniversary by heading back to theaters. Warner Brothers says the film will hit theaters again December 4th and 11th. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on WISS.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy today. We'll see highs in the low 50s and a chance of showers. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 32. Sunshine with a high near 57 on Sunday. Sunday night, mostly clear, a low of 36. Monday, sunny and a high of 54.
Right now, it's 49.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, yeah. And it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Please, something. Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by the chief economist for the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. We talk about the shutdown status and what challenges Americans face with the removal of the ACA subsidies. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. Happy Halloween, everybody. Oh my goodness! It's an honor to do something outside the normal bounds and to hang out with my friend Todd, who's a paranormal true crime podcaster, paranormal enthusiast, all of those things, an all around good guy.
Before the break, we were talking a little bit about is this the search for what's after life and all that? And I kind of said I feel like it's more like what has been here or what is here. So my parents passed away in the last several years. And my whole thought concept of death and ghosts really kind of changed. Number one, I don't provoke anymore when I go out and investigate, because the last thing I would ever want my parents to do, if for some reason my parents are still haunting their old house, I don't want somebody to go in there and be a jerk to them, right?
Yeah.
So I really want to be respectful. But I also feel like we don't necessarily get caught up in locations where our spirits can't leave. I really feel like when we die and our spirits are gone from our body, we can go anywhere we want and probably be in multiple locations at one time. I just don't think there's any strict rules to that anymore. You're not confined to your space. You can be anywhere. And the reason why I say that is because another opportunity that I had that just blew my mind was went to Kena Island Lighthouse in Door County. Yeah. Great location. It's always been a favorite of mine. I've always been really drawn to lighthouses for one reason or another. And again, I think that lifestyle, people who were light keepers, man, that was hard work. Like you had to make sure that thing was lit. There was a lot of tragedy. A lot of people lost their minds doing that because it was very lonely. Families had tragedy. There were a lot of shipwrecks around the area. You've got the moving water of Lake Michigan there. I mean, there's so many things that kind of add up to paranormal activity. I went into it thinking, I think my mom's coming through today. And my mom had never been there before, ever. But she knew how much I enjoyed it. So went up. The lighthouse was actually closed for renovations when I was there. So I only got to tour the island and the oil building and the workshop and all that kind of stuff. And there's kind of this stone wall that surrounds the island, but then also is over by the workshop. And I just took some time and I just said, hey, Mom, I put out my equipment. I had a K2 meter, which measures EMF. I had a recorder and I had a Mel meter, which also records EMF and temperature and some other things. And I said, hey, Mom, I'm just going to throw this out there. If you're there, will you please let me know? And the instruments went freaking crazy. And we weren't in a location where there should be any electrical current that would mess with the equipment. We literally had it on a stone wall. And I was talking about one of the people I was there investigating with was a friend of mine who I think my mom would like very much, but the person's kind of crazy and nutty. And I think my mom would have enjoyed that. And I actually said, you know, Sandy's here with me right now. I bet you really think she's a nut job, you know, don't you? And I'm not lying when I say this, that the equipment responded almost in a laughter situation. If anybody's seen a K2 meter, the lights kind of light up. It's got a little meter on it. And it literally was like laughter that came through.
Wow.
And so at that point, I kind of realized we can be anywhere we want to be. And if there's a special place in your heart, maybe a loved one would come to you there and not just in the old house that you grew up in. Your parents, your grandparents may come to you when you're in a location that you feel very connected with.
Mm. That would be a very, you know, I'm sure that was a very emotional time.
That's crazy. It was one of the best days of my life.
Oh, wow. That's That's awesome. Is there any truth to, you know, this is the day of the dead or whatever? Do people think that Halloween is like All Hallows Eve and things come out and things happen on this day that don't happen in others? Is that a thing?
I don't know if it's a thing. I do think that a lot of people think about it this time of year, right? It's top of mind because it's the spooky season.
Yeah.
And I do believe that we have the ability to fuel things to happen. Mm. Like if our mindset is on that and we believe it could happen, I think things are more apt to happen. So I'm not sure about the scientific or even the folklore part of whether or not Halloween brings more hauntings to us or not. But I do think that top of mind awareness, you know, it's like when you buy a new car, and you'll understand this. You buy a new car, you buy a Chevy Equinox, and all of a sudden you see a lot of Chevy Equinox on the road. Before that, you probably didn't even notice it. Yeah. And so, again, if it's top-of-mind awareness, you are more apt to actually see and experience things.
Now, if we're talking about the Todd Michaels, who's a paranormal, you know, enthusiast guy, like, paranormal, it's not just, like, ghosts. You know, there's a guy that is on TikTok that my son and I watch, and he does like Appalachia paranormal. And it's like, right. He talks about, you know, chupacabras or the, you know, Bigfoots and all these different
skinwalkers.
Yes. Skinwalkers, oh, right? My gosh. Yeah. And there's some crazy footage and really terrifying stuff out there that no one can really understand. Mothman prophecies, all this stuff. What do you, I mean, have you ever dipped into that type of sector of paranormal?
I've not done a lot of study on it. There's a couple reasons. Number one, it scares the crap out of me.
I know. Yeah.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, the stuff that I have watched is very, very intriguing. And it almost makes me wonder if the ghost or spirit portion of paranormal isn't somehow related to all these other things, right. Bigfoot and all that. Like, are we categorizing it because it's the only way we know how to categorize it in our human minds that these are ghosts? Or could it be a simple a timeline slip where some of the stuff is actually going on? We're just not always able to see it or experience it. I think there's a lot of that in our lives. One of my favorite episodes of Ghost Hunters, which was my favorite show back in the day.
Great show.
They went, and I don't remember where they were at. They were at this big, huge mansion or whatever. And they were in the princess's room. The princess had this room that was supposedly haunted.
Okay.
And they were basically saying, hey, princess, if you're here, talk to us, you know. And, hey, we just want to hear from your princess, hey. Blah, blah, blah. And they didn't hear anything back. But when they listened to the audio, she was there.
Whoa.
And not only was she there, but she was responding to their questions thusly. They would say, princess, are you there? And the response was, of course I'm here. Where are you? So
oh
it was
gosh.
Almost like she was there, but she couldn't see them, and they couldn't see her. And I just wonder, was that a spirit? Was that energy that was left behind? Was that she was actually living her life at that time, but in a different dimension? I mean, there's so many things you got to have an open mind to think outside the, this is a ghost. This person died a horrible death, and they've come back to haunt the area or whatever. I don't think that's what it is. I think there's just so many things that we don't understand.
Yeah. And like, you know, it's interesting where you look at the movie, The Mothman Prophecies. I love that movie, but
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Oh, it's really good. It talks about how this creature, you know, comes to forewarn people about disaster. And it would be one thing if, like, okay, you know, this was a one-off in some town in Kentucky or wherever the hell it was. But, like dozens of people saw this thing. And not only that, that type of creature was reported in Fukushima in Japan before that whole thing. There's a butterfly festival in Joplin because of the butterfly people that they saw before the tornado. So it's like this thing that has happened over and over and over again that no one can explain. No one knows what it is.
Well, and we didn't have internet back then.
Right.
We didn't have social media. So how did somebody in this part of the world experience something that's so close to something that was experienced in another part of the world?
You're right.
I mean, that's why you almost have to take a step back and go, okay, we don't, just because we don't have proof of this visually or whatever, to totally close your mind off to the possibilities, I think is sad. When it comes to this stuff, am I a firm believer on everything? No, I'm not, because I have not experienced it. But I'm open to experiencing it and understanding more about it. And I think for you to experience paranormal activity of any sort, you have to have an open mind to it.
Yeah, and well, or your mind will be opened by something that you really expect.
Some kind of anal probing or something from a UFO.
Right.
Looks like we're getting close to announcing some UFO stuff here in our country. So we'll see how that rolls.
I am fascinated by that. I'm listening to Annie Jacobson's book right now, Area 51.
Yeah,
but yeah, I was as a kid always this huge like nerd about UFOs, and not necessarily from like the alien perspective, but from, you know, different government projects that we don't know about.
Yep.
That's wild. Some of that stuff. Cause like, you know, you talk to, or you hear any of those big science geeks about what the universe is. It's almost like a statistical improbability that we're the only living.
Well, of course. I mean, come on.
Right.
And, how narcissistic do you need to be to think that we're the only?
Well,
yeah.
Well,
I weave.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh huh. No, there was this video that we saw, that Appalachia guy, and there was a guy that was riding a dirt bike through the woods, and he got to this part of a trail, and there was this huge tree that came down, and he was like, "Okay, well, this sucks. I can't hop the tree." And he got out and was like kind of checking out the area, and everything just shut up. It was just dead quiet. And then like there was this terrifying screech, and he's like, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God." And he got out of there, and it like, holy crap. Like there's so much weird stuff that is out there that we have no idea what it is.
And now with AI, you don't know.
I know. I
mean, the thing about AI, it's really cool. But now you can't even take for granted that the stuff you're seeing or hearing is real.
Right.
So it almost takes away any credibility a group or a person might have when they're trying to make a point, prove their point.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. And you know, with the alien stuff, I think the stuff that has come out just over the last handful of years too, which, by the way, huge credit to Blink-182 guitarist Tom DeLonge, who formed a lot of those, the people that, the Nimitz video, that was released because of the Blink-182 guy and the Academy.
You're trying to tie in one of your favorite bands?
I am trying to, but it's totally true. And because he brought in that Lou Elizondo guy who was a high profile investigator for the federal government that no one knows who he was. And he brought in some of the people that were the ambassador to the UN and all those. That was from that dude. And so when all these videos are being released, that's not AI, because some of the stuff was from like 2004.
Yeah.
And it's been, you know, classified for 20 freaking years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff's nuts. I do want to talk about that a little bit more on the other end of the break here with my friend Todd Michaels, paranormal and true crime podcaster, all around good dude. We're going to see you on the other end here on the Rational Revolution and the Civic Media Radio Network. Stick around.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Football season is heating up on Prize Picks. Now, you and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. So keep the season rolling by getting $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. Plus, the app for Prize Picks is really simple to use. Just pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projections, and if you're right, you could win big. Prize Picks is also available in 40-plus states, including California, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. Most importantly, they don't play about your money. All transactions on the app are fast, safe, and secure. Don't miss any of the action this season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Download the Prize Picks app today, use code SUNDAY, and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play $5. That's code SUNDAY on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly in lineups when you play $5. Win or lose, you'll get $50 in lineups just for playing, guaranteed. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drug-to-driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing. I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. Yeah, feeling good was easy.
Welcome back. The ode to Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim, who's, by the way, previous host of the show, if you want to listen to those episodes that she did. It's all available, civicmedia.us. Yeah, all the socials, all the everything. Shout out to our dear state senator, who's a friend of yours as well.
Absolutely. Love that. Love that lady.
She's a wonderful, wonderful gal. That guy is Todd Michaels, who's also a wonderful, wonderful guy. Paranormal True Crime Podcaster. We're talking about, you know, because it's Halloween time and this is our Halloween episode. One more segment. So what have you, what are you working on that that people can, you know, find, and what are you doing?
Doing podcasting, that's the big thing. Haven't actually had a lot of time to do a lot of investigating, but I plan on doing some here in the next 6 months or so. Podcasting, realghoststoriesonline.com. That is a podcast that's been around several years and is probably one of the largest archived true ghost stories from actual people. They call in with their own stories. They write in with their own stories. We share them. We give our interpretation of them, our perception of them. And this has been going on for a number of years. And I am a rotating co-sponsor on that show and have been involved with that for a handful of years myself. But a gentleman by the name of Tony Bruschi, who I've known for a long time, started that long, long time ago. And if you like to light some candles, turn down the lights and put a flashlight in front of your face and tell ghost stories. That's kind of what it is.
It's
also interesting to hear so many different stories of the same thing. You always hear about the lady in white or the man in the top hat or the tall shadow figure, which also lends it to like people experiencing some of the same things, but in different areas of the country, et cetera. So I'm part of that. And the other thing I do and is my primary thing is podcasting true crime. And we do a live program every day, Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Central called Hidden Killers Live. And we dig into some of the current true crime stories out there. Everything from Brian Koberger out in Idaho to Ellen Greenberg in Philadelphia. I mean, you talk about scary people. Ghosts are scary. But some of the things that these killers do and how they get around, we just did a series on Gacy.
Oh, my God, yeah.
There's a new documentary out about that. So that's Hidden Killers, True Crime Today. You can find that wherever you get your podcasts.
That's awesome. I mean, it's not awesome with the whole, like, how people are awful.
Yeah, well, you know what's really funny, Mark, and I've said this, that real humans are scarier. When I first took this job, I had not done a lot in true crime. It wasn't a forte of mine. So I kind of ramped up and I learned a lot and I read a lot and I listened to a lot of stuff. And I didn't sleep for like the first 4 weeks of this job because it is so freaky how these people operate and how they manipulate and how these narcissists get away with, you know, one of the stories we were following was Donna Adelson down in Florida. Had her son-in-law murdered, paid people to murder him, and then, you know, was surprised that she got caught. And it's like, what? You can't just do that. You can't just hire somebody to go have your son-in-law murdered because you want your grandkids to stick around. But this is what the woman did.
Oh, that's why she did it?
Yeah, that's why she did it. Yeah, because he was going to move to another part of the state or wasn't another part of the state.
Oh, no, you're not.
You're not going to take my sunshines away. We'll have you knocked off.
You could have been like, Donna, you could move too. Oh, I didn't think of that.
What's that? Yeah, what are you talking about?
Shoot.
Yeah.
Did that all wrong.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that would be tough for me, you know, hearing about what, like, that's just horrible stuff that people do.
Yeah.
What, with your stories about real ghost stories online.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there, you briefly touched on it, is there like common themes of what people experience from, like, you know, a breeze that they can't explain to then seeing a shadow? Like, what, is there something that's a common story?
Again, you do hear the lady in white a lot, right?
What is
coming
that?
Down the staircase and stuff. My personal opinion is it's not really a lady in white. I think we're seeing something probably trying to manifest, and we're seeing that mist that comes along with that.
Okay.
Our minds, our brains try to make sense of what we see.
Yeah.
And so if we don't understand it, our brain says, well, it's gotta be this.
Yep.
Or it's gotta be that. And that's some of the reason why a lot of us don't have open minds, because we think that we see something or we hear something or we experience something and it's got to be this because that's what we've learned. The one thing that I think is really incredible is the number of healthcare providers, whether it be nurses or hospice care providers, who experience so many of the same things in their jobs. Yeah. Over time. Continues to surprise me.
What are they?
Hospitals where there's patients that there's no actual patient there. Obviously, hospice nurses who have seen people basically leave their body and things of that nature. But those locations, you know, it makes sense that they have some sort of paranormal activity around them when people are coming and going so much.
So as we're wrapping up here, if you have advice for someone of, like, you know, someone asked me what's advice? I would say, if you see something or you hear something, don't try to brush it away and just kind of like, okay, what was that? You know, what advice would you give?
Absolutely. Investigate a little bit, right? Like I said, not everything's a ghost. Sometimes a bump in the wall of your house is because the pipes have air in them. You know, it could be that. But if you feel like it could be something, it could be something. Right. People say, well, I think my mom visited me. You know what? There's a good chance she probably did.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Todd Michaels. You can get his podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. Real Ghost Stories Online. Hidden Killers Live. True Crime Today. He's that kind of guy. I so appreciate you hanging out. Happy Halloween, sir, to you and your family.
Good to see you. Enjoy that orange vanilla Coke.
Dude, I'm going to. Yes.
Brought to you by Orange Vanilla Coke.
I want to drink your Coca-Cola.
Blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah. Awesome. Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it, everybody. Have a happy Halloween. Stay safe, and we will see you next week. Keeps on pushing me around, but I'll stand my ground, and I won't back down.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. President Trump is meeting with the leaders of Qatar right now, which has played a role in the negotiations over the war between Israel and Hamas.
And the prime minister has been my friend and a friend to the world. And we've done a lot together in the last, especially in the last year. What we've done is incredible. Peace to the Middle East.
Trump next heads to Asia for a week-long trip where he'll visit Malaysia, Japan, South Korea, and will meet with the Chinese President Xi Jinping amid the ongoing trade war. Tropical storm Melissa has strengthened into a hurricane, and ABC News meteorologist Melissa Griffin says it's not done yet.
It will become a Category 4 tomorrow and remain a Category 4, potentially even intensifying further by Monday night into Tuesday as it slowly creeps just to the south of Jamaica and then expected to make landfall on Jamaica Monday night through Tuesday night. And that's when we're expecting the worst of these conditions.
This is ABC News. Inflation.